Someone earlier this morning asked me if I was going to preach up a storm today. What we are going to do is park our sermon series on the Wesleyan way of salvation, and we'll see next Sunday, God willing, if we can put justifying and sanctifying grace together in a way that will carry us forward. But as the week has unfolded and spent time, I'm sure, as you have, watching the news, it seemed more appropriate to go a different direction this morning as we reflect and think about all that we are seeing and hearing and what is to come. And so I offer this morning a word of Scripture that speaks to me, a word that has guided me throughout my life for lots of reasons, but today, in light of everything that has happened and is to come, I think speaks deeply to us. From the prophet Isaiah, chapter 43, beginning in verse 1. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for you. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you up. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is indeed the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. And let us pray. Holy and gracious God, there are indeed moments when our sighs seem too deep for words. And in those moments, O God, we turn to your word, that in it we might find guidance, hope, strength, and the courage to carry forward. So gracious God, come now and unstop our ears. Make ready our hearts. Prepare our souls this day, that indeed we might hear from you. And having heard from you, we might be mobilized and strengthened in ways that we might be your hands and feet for a hurting community, for a hurting region, for all of creation. Come, Holy Spirit, come, we pray. Amen. I give thanks this morning as a way of beginning for the Reverend Jim Harnish, long-serving United Methodist pastor in Florida. Obviously there they saw many a hurricane and storm over the years. And this weekend, as I was digging through and processing what I wanted to share this morning, some of his words came back. And so I give thanks for his reflections and share some of them and others with you this morning. I don't know if you feel it. I certainly do. Surveying the television, watching the scenes coming in, thinking about those whom I love and care about who live in the regions impacted dramatically by the storm. But over the few days, it seems like this feeling of helplessness has been rising within me, sort of from my feet up, this sense of feeling helpless as I watch the images on the television screen. You see the fury of the storm and what it's doing to trees and to buildings and to roads, and we began to feel helpless. We see what it's doing to homes and to people. We see those rescues that are happening. We hear reports coming in, and it haunts us in a way. It stirs up within us these feelings that sometimes we can't even put words to. I saw again in the paper this morning the image of that young man with the kitten up on his shoulder. And I saw the image of those first responders who were kneeling after they had done everything they could to rescue that mom and that newborn and couldn't get to them. And you just, the feelings overwhelm you. You think about those who are carrying what they could grab in plastic grocery bags as they're being put into boats and taken to safety. And we know that it's not even over as the rains continue to fall and the collections and the tributaries and rivers and will flow down east, and we know there is more to come. It can leave us feeling helpless. But this morning I want to remind us. I want to remind us of the nature of our God. I want to pull from Exodus, the story of Moses at the burning bush. And listen, after God speaks to Moses and gets his attention with that flame of fire out of the bush, that Moses looks and it's blazing, but it's not being consumed. And then the voice comes, "Moses, Moses." And he says, "Here I am." And then the voice says, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet." And then God says, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And then the Lord says, "I have observed the misery of my people. I have heard their cry. I know their sufferings, and I will come to deliver them. I've observed the misery of my people. I hear their cry. I know their suffering, and I will come to deliver them." And in that story in the Gospel of Mark, it's in multiple Gospels, but of Jesus with the disciples on the boat, and they've gone over to the other side. They're in the boat, and that windstorm comes up, and they're thinking, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And Jesus stands up, and he says to the wind and to the storms, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceases, and a dead calm ensues. I want to remind us this day, amid it all, that we serve a God who hears our cries, who sees our sufferings, and who seeks to deliver us. I want to be very clear that in our theology, God is not the source of this storm. God has not sent this storm. This is not some kind of retribution for wrongdoing or sin or brokenness. That is not what we believe whatsoever. Rather, we believe in the God of Abraham, the God of Moses, and the Jesus, and the one who says, "I see your suffering, I hear your fear, and I have come to deliver you, and I will be with you. You are precious in my sight. You are my beloved. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you." We're reminded in the psalm that Brent just led us through that if the Lord hadn't been for us, the waters would have overcome us. The Lord hadn't been for us, but the Lord is for us. When we pass through the waters, God says, "I will be with you, and the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. Do not fear, for I am with you." God hears our cries. God hears the cries of all who are being lifting up cries this day. And therefore, we have reason not to feel helpless, but to be hope-filled. But the question might come this morning for us here in this place. What about when the storm hasn't directly hit us? Forecast earlier in the week, it looked like it was going to come right through here. And as we gathered on Wednesday night, there was some conversation around the table in Ascension Hall. What do you do? You don't certainly want to pray for the storm to go hit someone else, but you certainly don't want it to come towards you. And we had deep conversation about those strange feelings welling up within us. The reality is, many of us gathered here this day, the storm has not impacted us directly in this place, but we see the images. We know loved ones. In a few moments, we'll call forward for your petitions and your prayers. Certainly, my wife and I have family who live down east. We're from down east, places that we love and account sacred in our lives. We've seen the images are swallowed up with water. And so maybe even though it hasn't impacted us directly, we long, we pray for, we care about those who have been dramatically impacted. So what about when we see others suffering from a distance? We can't stop the storm. We can't stop the impact. What then do we do? Well, I take us back to this story from Exodus. God comes to Moses and says, "I see the suffering of my people. I hear their cry, and I'm going to deliver them." But if you read on in the story, it doesn't stop there, does it? God goes on to say to Moses, "I'm going to send you." God says to Moses, "Get up and get going. I'm sending you." When God says God's going to deliver, it's not by mystery or magic. It's through the hands and the feet of those whom God has redeemed and saved. God sends us forward to respond. That story of the Good Samaritan in the New Testament. All the others have passed by, but the Samaritan sees the one who is suffering and gets up and responds. We're called to relieve the suffering of others. Now, I wanted to share a poem this morning entitled Stubborn Ounces. I think sometimes the tendency is in the wake of such overwhelming suffering to go, I don't even know where to start. What does one do? How do you begin to alleviate the suffering of others? And what will I offer? Will it make any kind of difference? Listen to Stubborn Ounces. Bonaro Overstreet writes this. And she writes it addressed to the ones who doubt the worth of doing anything if you can't do everything. Listen. You say the little efforts that I make will do no good. They never will prevail to tip the hovering scale where justice hangs in the balance. I don't think I ever thought they would. But I'm prejudiced beyond debate in favor of my right to choose which side shall feel the stubborn ounces of my weight. You say the little efforts that I make will do no good. They never will prevail to tip the hovering scale where justice hangs in the balance. I don't think I ever thought they would. But I'm prejudiced beyond debate in favor of my right to choose which side shall feel the stubborn ounces of my weight. Indeed, we may not be able to change it all, affect it all, but we do get to decide who will fill the stubborn ounces of our weight. It might seem that everything we have to give will be just a tiny drop of compassion in this massive flood of suffering. But I remind us that we worship a God who takes even the smallest offerings, even a mite, and does with it far more than we could dare dream or imagine. Who takes little things, little offerings, a little boy who brings just the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and makes of it something massive. We get to choose what God will do. We get to choose what we give and watch what God will do with the stubborn ounces that we can offer. So here's some stubborn ounces that we can offer. We began with what we're doing right now, gathering up for prayer. I'm overwhelmed that you have come out of your places of shelter and safety, that you've come to this holy place, this sacred place to pray this day, to pray for brothers and sisters anywhere and everywhere impacted by the storm. Particularly this day in our petitions, we're going to be praying for brothers and sisters in the United Methodist Connection. One of the first Sundays I was with you, I reminded you that we have more United Methodist churches in America than there are post offices. So you can begin to imagine that in every little nook and cranny beside every little tributary and road, if you're watching the news and you're seeing an area impacted, be well assured that we have a United Methodist community of faith that is right there in that place. Reports are beginning to trickle in, but we don't have them all yet. I spent some time talking with Carol Gehring, who is our district superintendent, David's spouse, who gives supervision to the Corridor District where we're located. She's let me know that we're going to be partnering with the Harbor District, and that is where Wilmington and the surrounding area is located. And that in the weeks that unfold, we'll begin to hear about partnerships of ways we can mobilize our help, take our stubborn ounces and begin to help people muck out houses, and begin to help repair, offer words of hope, and offer food, you name it. We'll be hearing about ways that we can respond. But today, as we worship, it is not to be overestimated the power of us thinking and praying for our brothers and sisters in those congregations, many of whom can't gather in a place like this today to pray. But the fact that this web, this network of prayer goes out, this energy, this force of us praying, blanketing them, will buoy them in ways that really no material thing we could ever offer would. But to know that people all across our connection are praying and thinking about them this day means the world to them. And I hope that you will continue to pray, not only for those whom you love, but when you get down on your knees and you pray, think about our brothers and sisters who gather in congregations just like we do, all over this area that's being impacted, and offer prayers for them, your stubborn ounces. You've already given today, and we'll have opportunities to continue to give in the coming weeks. Thank you in advance for that. In talking with Reverend Gehring yesterday, she was reminding me that if you go back over the history of storms that have impacted the North Carolina region, and you think about the connection, the larger United Methodist connection, 14 million members worldwide, people all over the globe are seeing this disaster happen, and they are giving too. And over all of the years of the United Methodist Church, you need to be aware, more has been given from around the world to help us here in North Carolina than we've ever been able to give and send out elsewhere. And that's a humbling thing to remember and to think about. People on other continents, other states, regions, jurisdictions see our plight and are praying for us today as they worship and will be giving. And so think about, again, this web of connection, what it means to be United Methodist, that we're never alone. This web of connection will aid us in our time, and I trust days will come in the future when we'll be able to aid them as we've done so in the past as well. We're beginning to have conversation about ways that we might put together flood buckets or assemble other materials. Of course, we have to wait to hear what the needs are. I know there's this impulse to want to go help. I feel it too. And yet we know that we got to let our first responders do what they need to do. We need to hear and organize well a method and then plan our response. But some of you have already offered willingness to help us do that. We'll listen to some of the partner congregations tell us, would flood buckets be most helpful? Or are there other supplies that they need? We certainly want to send and give what they need. So stay tuned to social media and to electronic communications that come out. We'll certainly be ready next Sunday to help you with that as well. So those are some ways that we began to think about the stubborn ounces that we can offer that will enable us to help those who are in need. If the Lord hadn't been for us, the waters would have drowned us. The torrent would have come over our necks and the raging waters would have overcome us. But our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, this day we gather in this sanctuary, this safe place, this place of refuge, and our hearts are overflowing. We feel all kinds of emotion this day, O God. Would you come and offer us a peace that passes all understanding? Would you come and strengthen us? Would you come and help us to know how we might use the stubborn ounces in our hands and at our feet? We might know how to best deploy them to aid those who are in need. Remind us, Almighty God, that you are with us. You will see us through this storm. You will carry us forward. We are not alone. We pray for brothers and sisters who are part of the United Methodist Connection, who are part of the faith tradition anywhere and everywhere this day who suffer. For those who are in the continued wake of Hurricane Florence and for those who are experiencing its aftermath, Almighty God, would you come now and grant them a peace. For those who are first responders and who are on the scene offering care and aid of all kinds and varieties. For those who are staffing shelters, those who are providing material resources, would you bless them with extra grace this day, O God, and sustain them beyond anything human, but by your power and grace you can give. Almighty God, sustain us in this hour, that indeed we might be hands and feet going forward for your people, we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen.